Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Ron.
I'm Jean Marie.
And I'm Lita. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're talking about the complex world of multiple chronic illnesses with Veronica. Veronica is a PhD student at University of Indiana, I believe. And she will be giving us her thoughts on being chronically ill during a pandemic that is still ongoing and the importance of masking. Thank you for joining us today, Veronica.
Thank you for having me.
Veronica, this is Ron. And I guess to just start, what exactly are we going to talk about today? I know Lita just mentioned the chronic illness, but I believe there's something specific that you wanted to go into?
Oh, yes. I would like to talk about how the pandemic isn't over and that chronically ill and medically vulnerable people need everyone to wear masks and protect each other as a part of community care.
Excellent. Excellent point. Veronica, I am also a very strong advocate for masking, and in the years since it started, I can count on one hand the number of times that I put myself or my family at risk due to a forgotten mask. I have a theory that if you walk into a large crowd, have everyone stop what they're doing and raise their hands, if they have already had COVID, the hands going up would be attached to the bodies walking around without masks. I personally think that those who that aren't immunocompromised, who aren't medically fragile, who caught COVID and survived, they don't understand the importance of masks for those who have medical conditions, putting them at greater risk of severe reaction to the virus. And I'm assuming that that's your theory as well.
Yes, that is. And it's also been my experience. A lot of people that I know that don't wear masks are completely able-bodied people. Mm-hmm. And they've had, I know some people who have had COVID at least 5 to 7 times.
Wow.
And they're still able-bodied, but they mm-hmm. still don't wear masks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Veronica, earlier when we were trying to start this a little earlier, you had mentioned some information. Are you yourself or any of your family members medically fragile? And what do you do to protect yourself now that the majority of the people are going about life as if nothing ever happened, like there was no pandemic?
So I am disabled. I have chronic migraines. I'm on day 198 of a severe migraine. I also have a high-risk partner and an immunocompromised toddler. So what do we do to mm-hmm. protect ourselves right now? We are still isolating. We've been isolating for pretty much the duration of the pandemic. And we've adjusted our boundaries to how other people live their lives as if the pandemic isn't happening. Mm-hmm. So that looks like I work from home. I ask for work accommodations for school. My partner stays at home with our son, and we all mask up as soon as we go outside because there have been a lot of cases of people getting COVID outside, and mm-hmm. I'm not willing to take that risk. So we wear, all of us now wear N95s as we go outside and eye protection.
Okay.
Okay.
And we also do like grocery pickup and stuff like that too.
Okay. And Veronica, do you find yourself going out of your way? Okay. Do you like go out of your way to avoid crowds? Are you... you know, like you said you do like the grocery pickup. So if you want to take your child somewhere, do you like maybe go out earlier or later to avoid crowds? Or in other words, what do you have to do to avoid mass groups of people and to limit how much exposure you are putting or how much you are exposing yourself to you. I cannot talk. How much you are exposing yourself and your family to potential hazards such as COVID, influenza,
RSV,
the common cold,
right.
RSV, and leprosy.
Okay.
So right now we avoid crowds at any cost.
Okay.
We have a lot of outside time, but I also, thankfully on Google, they show like busy times at outdoor parks. So thankfully our city has a community orchard right next to a playground. And we get there really, really early in the morning so that we can like go pick some berries. And then also my son can like go down the slide and swing and stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love the idea of a community orchard.
Yeah.
And Veronica, how do you deal with people that are, well, to put it bluntly, pretty callous about this, or basically the needs of people that feel the same way that you do? You know, that the masking is...
Well, yeah. And for example, we had a tag or a garage sale recently, and someone came up to us and basically berated us for wearing masks. And which was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you respond to that?
So I'm sorry that happened to you. So when that happens, so far I've been harassed with my son in three states.
Wow.
Since the pandemic has started. And we talk about it. We talk about it with our son after the fact. And it's kind of a hard thing to protect a little curious mind from, of like, why is this person yelling at us about masks? And so we have conversations about that with them. And then I'm also lucky to be part of a parent COVIDing group that I found on Facebook, where I'm able to talk with my friends about those experiences. And I also talk about it with my therapist. But in the moment, it's kind of like a flight, fright, or freeze kind of situation. So just try to remember to take deep breaths when people are yelling at us with our child.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as a follow-up to that, now that's the general public. Now, when you go to the doctor, you know, you're going to your healthcare provider, do you insist that they wear a mask, or have you gotten like kickback or from them or negative, you know, responses to you still wearing a mask?
Thankfully, we haven't gotten any kickback from medical providers. My neurologist recently stopped masking, but he carries a mask around with them. But as far as pediatricians go, they are willing to wear a mask. And we ask as soon as we get to the check-in, hey, can the medical provider please wear a mask for our appointment? And if they come in and they're not wearing a mask, then we ask them, please leave and put on a mask.
Okay. Yeah.
Good for
you.
Yeah.
Veronica, how have you managed your own chronic illness during the pandemic? I mean, we weren't going to really just discuss migraines, but I don't think I've ever talked to anybody with migraines as bad as you've got them.
Yeah, I'm glad you have a neurologist, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, this has got to be horrendous for you.
Yeah.
I kind of manage it with a lot of sleep, and I'm grateful that my professors and my advisors work with me for letting me able to work from home.
Okay.
But I also, there's these migraine hats that are like jelly ice that you can put in the freezer that really help with the pain. And I'm also on some different medications. But unfortunately, none of the medications that we've tried so far have gotten completely rid of this migraine.
Okay.
That's kind of become your new normal?
That's a good question. It feels like it's become my new normal. I've had migraines since I was 3 years old, so I'm used to having chronic migraines. But this one that's almost 200 days in, it gets a little depressing.
And understandably.
I've been asked like, hey, are you right? I've been asked, is this... that question of like, is this your new normal? And I'm like, I hope not.
Yeah.
I really hope not, because it does put a damper in my life. Mm-hmm. As far
sorry,
as
I didn't mean any offense.
Yeah.
Play hard with my son. Oh, no worries.
But since this is new for you, have they done like MRIs or things like, or CTs? Have they looked to make sure there's nothing that changed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Have they done an MRI where they monitor your cerebral spinal fluid flow?
A CINE?
They haven't.
It is a weird test. I know we actually went to, I think it's Simons, the actual manufacturer.
Of the MRI.
For it. But it's an interesting.
So it's a moving MRI, and they can watch and see whether or not
there's any issues
spinal
with the
cord fluid is getting stuck up anywhere, and maybe that could be causing the migraine. So it's called a CINE, CINE.
We just want to do something for you, and I know we're not going to be able to fix or cure you, but please know that we are heartily feeling for you, and boy,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it's sorry. I just
thank you.
The other thing is an upright MRI.
Yeah,
to make sure that the
there isn't any change.
The skull itself isn't putting pressure when you're upright versus when you're laying
just
down.
Looking at the anatomy.
The anatomy moves, and when you're upright, and you get a CINE MRI. It can actually give a different picture than if you're laying down on a typical MRI machine. So I would actually add to that CINE having an upright MRI.
But I'm sure you're a neurologist.
Yeah,
We don't give
medical advice, but
no.
It helped us to figure out what was wrong with Gene, and it did lead to some major surgery. But at least we found out what was causing it.
And if it would have just taken away my
migraines,
we would have been thrilled.
Yeah.
But also, I do infusions and I get that and Botox and medications and ice. And actually, there's an ice machine where you fill up a little cooler with ice water and then it pumps it through like a helmet. Well, it's like a hat that you wear. So it's like really cold, which can be relief as well.
Right.
But
it's kind of like what they use for orthopedic injuries. You wrap it over your shoulder
or
whatever.
We're going off on a tangent.
But they have it for the head.
When she said 198 days, I want to cry.
Yeah. I mean, we
and give you a hug.
Yeah. We definitely feel for you.
Okay. But Veronica, what role does nutrition play in your life? Both supporting, you nutrition as far as preventing any immune system issues and also avoiding triggers for migraines. Is food a trigger for you?
Food, thankfully, isn't a trigger for me.
Okay.
But I am on an anti-inflammatory diet, so I avoid a lot of processed foods. We don't really eat a lot of processed foods. Thankfully, my husband worked in a kitchen for a long, long time, so he knows how to make almost everything from scratch.
Oh.
So a lot of homemade meals and everything like that.
Oh, very cool.
And
having fresh fruits in the area, that's a great community initiative. We have the farm here where you get allotments to grow your own fruits and vegetables, and that's a community service that we have in our town. That's absolutely fantastic. But I'll turn it over to Ron.
So, Veronica, a little earlier you mentioned about going to the park, you would do it at earlier times and so forth to avoid the crowds. Could you go a little more in depth about how you modify your daily activities so that you and your husband and your child does not come down with COVID or any other illness?
That's a really good question.
I try to ask those.
So we've turned almost everything into virtual for our toddler. Thankfully with that COVIDing parent group, we have weekly circle time, via Zoom where he can learn about different, subjects like senses and dinosaurs and animals and the planet. And my partner also does, he games a lot with all of his friends online. So that's pretty much everything besides the park adventures and the grocery pickup is virtual.
And I think that answers my next question.
Social,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you feel is the most misunderstood aspect of COVID?
That's a good question. I think the most misunderstood thing is the aspect of masking and how asymptomatic people can also still spread COVID, even if they're not wearing a mask. And I also think there's been this whole push of like masks don't work, even though masks have been around since way before 2020. I think that's the most misunderstood right now.
Yeah, and if masks didn't work, then why are medical professionals still wearing them? And, you know, especially, you know, when, what, why, I don't know. I don't
know. I'm chuckling because of what we were talking about off air about the flat earthers, and maybe I shouldn't be bringing it up,
no,
but it's kind of like the same concept.
Right. Well, and actually, because like we had, my, Lita and I have not had COVID yet. And we kind of went to extremes and basically fell back on everything we learned about caring for someone who is extremely immunocompromised after an organ transplant. So everything from not getting ice in your drinks at restaurants to, you know, cleaning off all the groceries when they come home to leaving packages out for 72 hours before, you know, touching them, washing your hands frequently. We actually changed to a different hand soap because we are washing our hands so frequently and obviously wearing masks. And we haven't had it yet, but also like we didn't get the flu, we didn't get the cold, and now we're learning, you know, not that it's extraordinarily rare, but even like leprosy is also spread, or Hansen's disease is also spread through respiratory droplets. So, I mean, there are just so many things that are spread that way that it seems like masking is just a pretty good overall idea. And I think they, you know, when people have had conferences and then they leave the conference and a large majority of those people who are not wearing masks are ill after the fact, it all proves that masks work and we should all be wearing them.
Yes, I agree.
I'm just going to add this because I just got out of rehab. I would say less than 5% of the people in there were still wearing masks.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I think it's funny. Every time I go to my neurologist, I wear a mask. And the nurse always says, you don't have to wear a mask in here anymore. And I said, oh, you know, that's, and then she'll go on to cough. And every single time I'm like, I will still be wearing my mask. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So we're definitely with you on this.
Absolutely.
And support you. And we're very sorry for anyone who has expressed anything negative towards your very rational and thoughtful approach to maintaining your health and the health of your family.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I will get off my high horse.
Ron, time to get
no,
on
no,
yours.
No, I was waiting to see if Veronica wanted
yeah,
to
I'm
add
sorry.
Anything. No worries, no worries.
I don't mean to talk at you, Veronica. And I do have a million questions.
Oh, you're
most
good.
Of them are about geography, but I'll let Ron go ahead.
I have to do my professional voice now.
Okay.
Now that we have a bit of it, background information, it's time to talk about our initiative. To better serve our listening audience, we are an affiliate of a major medical supplier that's located here in the United States. You will find affiliate links on our website, PodcastDX. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnoses to make sure it is less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you might need. We are open to your suggestions and will adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners, find helpful. But now, let's return to our show.
Okay. Veronica, with your own personal chronic illness, do any, in migraines you know, in particular, do any alternative therapies like massage therapy, acupuncture, acupressure, heat, or you were saying ice, help alleviate your symptoms?
So before the pandemic started, I was seeing a massage therapist regularly, which was really, really helpful. And seeing that massage therapist actually got rid of my previous longest migraine of my life, which was like 2-3 months long. But I also use a heating pad at the base of my skull to help with those tight muscles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And have you considered signing yourself and your partner up for a virtual massage therapy class so you can learn to help and support each other?
Honestly, I didn't know those existed, but I will definitely write that down and find out.
A lot of community colleges will teach massage therapy to partners so you can help, you know, one another that way. Because I think, and also you can, you know, if it's, yeah, extremely helpful. Well, it can be extremely
Thank
helpful.
You
I don't want to say it will be extremely helpful, but yeah. It's good to have someone that knows how to give a good massage.
Good advice. So, Veronica, what are some maybe less apparent parts of your life that have been affected by having this chronic illness or being medically fragile since the start of the pandemic? I mean, you talked about going out. What about, again, things that the listener might not be thinking about?
Time with family, with my... outside of my little family, not being mm-hmm. able to see a lot of my family members. None of my family members mask anymore, which is hard and difficult. And it's also hard too, because I had my son right before the pandemic started. So we didn't really have that village mm-hmm. to help raise our son. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, while some of my family members were willing to mask to see us, no one was really willing to do tests and isolate to be able to see us in the way that they would want to see us without mm-hmm. masks. Mm-hmm. But now our trust has been shot with being able to see anyone because they're living like the pandemic isn't even happening anymore.
Right.
So do mm-hmm. do... like the Zoom or the video, or do you just not really have that communication?
We do video chats. And sadly, my son has gotten to the point where he's asking to go visit his grandparents and his cousins. Mm-hmm. And we just say, when it's safer, we can. Mm-hmm. But since we've had to adjust a lot of our boundaries to how other people live, mm-hmm. I don't really foresee us seeing a lot of family members anytime soon.
That's a shame.
Have you been able to do like virtual, you know, your child's grandparents can read a book virtually, or, you know, things of that nature?
Recently, my mom started playing Words with Friends with him virtually,
Aww.
Which is really fun for him mm-hmm. Because he can already read. But we haven't tried this reading a story thing virtually yet, but that's a really good idea. I'll try and see if they'd be willing to read him stories that way.
Okay. And I know a virtual whatever it is doesn't make up for like, you know, a hug or anything, but we're definitely sending virtual hugs your way. Sorry if that's too personal.
Thank you.
The whole migraine thing, I just want to cry.
Veronica, what are you looking forward to doing in the next year?
That's a really good question. I haven't really been thinking about the next year, really. It's been more of a like day-to-day, month-to-month planning process. I am looking forward to going to pick some apples in September with my son at the orchard. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to the classes that I'll be taking this fall.
Okay, good. It's always good to look forward to something.
Mm-hmm. And Veronica, what support have you received during your journey? What role have your friends played and online support groups? And even your instructors and other students?
So that support looks a lot different than what I was hoping for mm-hmm. and what I was told that I would receive. As far as my academic community, I really appreciate my academic community, but there's a lot of in-person gatherings and no virtual options that are safely accessible to me. So that's frustrating. But I do have, there are a couple of professors in my department that still do wear masks and are willing to meet outside. And then the other support that I've received is mostly from my COVIDing parent group and my partner. My partner has been a rock star in helping me. Some days I can't even walk to the other room, so he'll help me walk just to the living room. And he also helps like prepare my meals and like fill my water bottle. And unfortunately, one thing that has happened to the with the onset of the pandemic and how it's been ongoing is I've lost a lot of friends. Just because of our different thoughts and our different values around the pandemic, which is heartbreaking. I lost a friend that I had for almost 20 years. And it's hard to not have that support from them, but I have gained a lot of support from my COVIDing parent group.
Good. Excellent. Veronica, what role has self-care played in your life recently?
So self-care for me, it looks a lot different with this migraine versus when I don't have a migraine. But a lot of rest and less screen time. I've been meditating since 2006. So I do a lot of meditations, and I also try, I'm not an artist by any means, but painting with my son has been a really, I think, an act of self-care for both of us, just being able to sit and paint with each other.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that sounds really wonderful.
Well, Veronica, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us about what's going on with you and the pandemic and all of that. If our listeners want to learn more about you, how can they find you?
So I'm on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Veronica Hanway, and I'm also on TikTok. My screen handle is at GeoHippie. And you can also find me and my email address at the IU Geography website. And I didn't really think about that.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Those are all good ways to contact you, I think.
Right.
And we look forward to reading your dissertation, and especially Lita, who's huge on climate change and water usage.
Yes.
She's already a huge fan.
Yes.
Did you want to end the interview with that joke again?
No. We'll just leave that joke.
They're like, please,
no,
not again.
Don't torture
Don't
us.
Encourage me to tell jokes.
Right.
Okay, sorry. I thought it was funny, but I'm easily amused.
Uh-huh.
I also thought it was funny to put that background there because Ron's been in medical rehab because of his shoulder injury for 2 months now. So I thought it would. Make him feel more at home.
So we got a backdrop of
that
a
looks
hospital
like a hospital room.
Yeah, that's
but
the type of
also,
sense of humor that these ladies have.
Oh, okay.
They did not think that was funny either, but I thought that was really funny. So
We didn't walk in with the bedpan, so you know.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. We didn't put a bedpan in the bathroom either. So Sorry. Well, Veronica, we hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and stay cool, because it's been miserably hot everywhere.
Muggy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we look forward to hearing that you've broken the migraine run because world records for migraines, fun.
You don't want to get in that book of world records.
No.
So yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments about today's show, they can contact Jean Marie personally.
Nope.
Or they can contact all of us at podcastdx@yahoo.com.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast.
And as always, please remember that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Lita is not a qualified healthcare provider, and she cannot write you a prescription for those MRIs that she recommends, because she is not a healthcare provider. Always seek the advice of your physician or the qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.